Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
So let's go to Hebrews 12 real quick. Let's just refresh a little bit. Hebrews 12, let's real quick go over to verse 18. Hebrews 12, 18. There's a lot of stuff he's talking about in this chapter. I'm not going to take all the time to go through all the lengths. Again, what Brother Matt said was really important before about listening to online messages, not only because to listen to them again, but if you've missed any, you can listen to them. That's why they're on there. Get up to speed. We've taught so much, but if you guys have noticed, whether it's Friday or even the past service that I've been teaching, they really do build upon one another. If you were to, say, listen to, you know, last service's message, you might be like, okay, I don't even know what's going on half the time. Getting all the way from even the message called the Ark, and then all the Friday messages since then, they're labeled as it says Pastor Mike Perdomo, so you know the ones that I've been teaching. You know, at least get those if you want to get caught up for what we've been teaching on Fridays. But anyway, so Hebrews 12:18, you are not come unto the mount that may be touched. Like I said, this is so informative, everything that he's talking about here, but I'm just going to sort of blaze through this. You are not come unto the mount that may be touched. Just from that, let's just take this just little piece. You are not come unto a mountain that can be touched. So what he's talking about is there is such thing as mountains, but there are such thing as mountains that you cannot touch. They're intangible mountains. Are they real mountains? Yes, but not a physical mountain. But this is saying you have come unto a mountain. As a Christian, he's talking to Christians, you have come into a mountain, but you can't touch this mountain. It's not a mountain that's tangible or physical. It's a spiritual mountain. There's so much I can go into with that, but like I said, the past messages will show you a little bit more. At verse 22, if we can skip down to verse 22, it says, but you are come unto Mount Zion. So let's say this. He said, you haven't come unto a mountain that can be touched. So the mountain that you have come to, you can't touch it, and you have come to Mount Zion. What that leaves you with is that Mount Zion is a mountain that you can't touch, right? If you were to read the whole passage on your own, that's fine, but I am giving you the whole picture here, right? This is a continuation of, verse 22 is a continuation, where that's why he says, but it's a continuation from verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that you can touch, but you have come to Mount Zion. So what are we, in other words, saying there? That Mount Zion is an untouchable mountain. You can't feel it or touch it or see it, because the word mountain in the Bible means heavens all the time. That is the definition of the word mountains. It means heavens. Makes sense? Because even physically, I believe that we shouldn't look at physical things to define anything in our minds. We shouldn't take any of our belief system from physical things that we see. We also should not look at physical things to define words in the Bible. For instance, you know, like the word mountains means heavens. And we know that from Scripture, okay? Again, I've told you guys plenty of times, if you want the verses that I have for that, I have them written down. I'll give you the verses for that specific thing. If you want the definition of the word mountain and where that is in the Bible, that it defines that, I can give it to you. But that's from the Bible. But then you can see in physical things, it just looks kind of cool that God would create mountains and they're higher than the earth. Or hills. That's also the heavens. Hills, mountains are the heavens. Now, Mount Zion specifically, if you were to keep reading, he says, you are come unto Mount Zion. Now, mountain, again, if we know that means heavens, then it makes sense that this mountain, if Mount Zion is heaven, it makes sense that he says you haven't come to a mountain that can be touched, right? It's a spiritual mountain. It's a figurative mountain, meaning heaven. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So you know this place he's talking about that you have come to, he's talking about something heavenly, because he says it right there, the heavenly Jerusalem. I'm only refreshing with this, okay? So we're going to get into more stuff, but this is just a refresher. So It says that we have come unto this mountain. I took a long time throughout all these things, through the ark, through a whole bunch of stuff I won't even repeat, that to establish the fact that even if we were to keep reading here, he talks later on. Let's just keep reading from verse 22. But you are coming to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is heaven. In other words, you have come unto heaven, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, unto an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, church of the firstborn. Ultimately, he gets down and says, to the spirits of the just made perfect. Let's just say this very, very quickly, right? Because it's just refresher. He says, you have come unto Mount Zion, to the spirits of just men made perfect. He's including the spirits of Christians as part of Mount Zion. You catch that? You have come unto Mount Zion. You have come to the spirits of the just that have been made perfect. He's saying, this is Mount Zion. Part of Mount Zion is the spirits of every Christian that's been made righteous inside of you is Mount Zion. So this is like real, real surface, but that's just a refresher. Mount Zion is heaven, that mountain that can't be touched. That is speaking about heaven. But he just said that your spirit is part of Mount Zion. Your spirit is part of heaven. You are coming to Mount Zion, in other words, to the spirits of the just. The spirits of Christians is what is heaven. Your body hasn't been made heaven yet, but it's receiving of it. And we'll get to that in a second. Mount Zion is underneath you, therefore, right? Think about it. If your spirit is part of Mount Zion, if your spirit is part of Mount Zion being heaven, if your spirit is Mount Zion and your spirit's inside of you, then you have a mountain inside of you, right? And that's where we unraveled all this stuff. We talked about a lot of things, but that means you have a mountain underneath you. That makes you a city on top of a hill. That makes you a sheep on top of a mountain. That makes you, you know, all these different things that we went through. That makes you an ark on top of the mountains of Ararat. That makes you all of these things, right? In other words, heaven is beneath you, beneath your skin, beneath your flesh, underneath your flesh, underneath the ark, underneath the city, underneath whatever you want to say. All these different metaphors and figures and stuff, but ultimately we're talking about heaven is on the inside of us. And again, Brother Matt was just saying this, but heaven is on the inside of us, beneath us, you can say. You are sitting on top of a mountain, if your body's resting, that is. You're sitting on top of a mountain. If you're active, then you're standing on the mountain. But regardless, you're on top of the mountain as a Christian, right? Standing or sitting, we are all on a mountain, right? So, okay, with all this said, I'm not going to stay here, but I can't teach using the terms that we used last service, okay? I don't want to go there right now. We talked about new earth last service, right? But remember last service, though, we talked about new earth is the same thing as saying heaven, right? If you're talking about the image of it, is what I mean. The image of new earth, the glory of new earth is the same thing as saying the glory of heaven. It's the glory of God, right? Because the new earth will be just like heaven, right? So we established that. That's why we can say new earth is on the inside of us, the blessing of Abraham. Or we can say heaven is on the inside of us and it doesn't matter, right? So for those that know that terminology, that's okay. You guys can apply all that new earth stuff to what I'm saying right now. But I'm not going to use the new earth terminology because it's going to be like, there's no sense in doing that. Okay, the new earth terminology is not going to be used tonight. So apply that terminology to what I'm saying because it'll benefit you, because whatever I say about heaven, I can also say about new earth, and it's applicable, and you'll get something out of it. But I'm not going into Abraham, all that stuff right now, right? So we're not gonna jump too far tonight. Okay, we're gonna stay with the mountain analogy, okay? And here's what I'll say about this. In Proverbs chapter 8, okay? Proverbs chapter 8. There's a woman in Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom or understanding. Wisdom and understanding is a woman. Now, keep this in mind. Everything that we just said Wednesday, this is all applicable to this, okay? It's the same stuff. So don't like think I'm jumping back to what we used to talk about the whole mountain thing, because now we started talking about new earth and now we're going back. No, it's the same thing, okay? So make all the applications. But wisdom, understanding, she is said in Proverbs 8 to stand by the top of the high places, okay? Proverbs 8 is actually written to people that are not saved, okay, if in case you're reading it, but the principle is still the same, okay? The principle is still the same. Even though it is written to unsaved people, it's written in a way where we can still relate to it, though. The same way you got saved, the same way you receive from God now anyway, right? The same process. This is what it says about wisdom. Wisdom and understanding that she stands by the top of the high places. Okay? So just imagine, if you're going to picture it, right? There's the top of the high places, let's say behind wisdom, right? If just for an analogy. The top of the high places. Wisdom stands by the top of the high places. High places is talking about heaven. That's why when they used to sacrifice to demons, I'm kind of giving the punchline. When they used to sacrifice to idols, it said they sacrificed in the high places. And I believe that is mainly referring to the fact that those were demonic places, okay? That they became a demonic sort of hub because they were worshiping demons. So they worshiped in the high places, so-called. High places talking about heaven. Makes sense, right? Heaven's higher than the earth. So high places means heaven. Top of the high places would obviously mean the top heavens. Those are the heavens that are on the inside of us. The top of the high places. The highest heaven that even in the Noah account that we talked about, the highest heaven or the high mountains, right? The top of the high places is talking about the same thing. Top of the high places, that's heaven, but the highest heaven, where God is, which is also now inside of us by the Holy Spirit. Wisdom stands by the top of the high places. All of this is in Proverbs 8. You can read Proverbs 8 and check everything that I'm saying up, okay? I'm basically just paraphrasing the verses. Now, wisdom, it says, calls out to men. Now, again, this is talking about wisdom calling out to unsaved people, all right? And there's a lot of really cool stuff that goes along with this. The principle, as I said, though, is the same. Stands by the top of the high places. She calls unto men and says, in other words, to receive wisdom, to receive understanding. She's calling out. She wants to teach these men. Now, it says about wisdom, though, that she's by the top of the high places, but specifically by the gates, by the way, by the doors into the high places. So now picture this. The high places are here, but there's a door to get into the high places. Okay? There's a door to get into the high places, but you have men walking around here that don't see it. Okay? So let's just picture this. There's a door here. There is a heavens over here. Wisdom standing by the door. And wisdom's calling to unsaved people. Again, let's put in Proverbs 8 context. Men, she's calling to men, which Christians aren't called men in the Bible. Your body might, but generally Christians are not called men. Like Paul said, why do you act like men, right? So she calls them to men, receive wisdom, you know, receive understanding, because men are walking out here when God has freely provided a door into the high places, which we'll get into a second. But God's provided this, so wisdom, which actually is Jesus, and I know it's a woman standing there, but it's just a figure. It doesn't matter. Jesus is not a lion also. He's not a lamb also. We say that. It's only an analogy, though, right? He's not really an animal. He's actually a person, right? We just compare him to a lamb symbolically. We compare him to a lion symbolically. He's compared to the woman that's looking for the lost coin. He's not a woman, okay? Jesus is not a woman. He came as a man, a male man, and even in his resurrected body, I wouldn't think that his gender changed. But regardless, it's an analogy. It's a woman, right? It's a woman standing, calling, which that is Jesus, though. She describes her birth, how she was never created, how she was with the Father, and how all things were created through her. She describes herself as Christ later on. It doesn't say she was created, for those that want to read Proverbs 8 all the way into Proverbs 9. She was not created, she was brought forth, and that's what it says. It does not say created. That entire time, she was brought forth, and Jesus was brought forth, not created, right? So anyway, wisdom is Jesus, but it's Jesus in a certain role. It's Jesus as the truth. It's not Jesus as the life. It's not Jesus as a, you know, our helper. It's Jesus as, in other words, it's not Christ as a, you know, the world to come, like we were just saying on Wednesday. It's Jesus in a certain role, Christ as our teacher, as our truth, as our wisdom, our understanding, okay? That's Jesus in a figure, right? He's not a woman, because people get weird with this. But it's him in a figure, okay? With all this said, Jesus calling out to people that are not saved, saying, In other words, they don't even understand what God has provided. God has provided the kingdom and his righteousness. And his righteousness. Why? Because those are the things that Christ provided. Kingdom and righteousness. He took sin and death so you could have kingdom and righteousness. Okay? Those two things are the things. Jesus provided these things. But you see, men walk around here and they don't understand these things. Christians mainly, a lot of times these days, also don't understand these things. But regardless, but people are walking around. So Jesus calls out to the men and says, you know, receive wisdom, receive understanding. All the foolish turn in here. What's Jesus trying to do? Show the way that there is, look, there's a way to the high places I made for you, right? The way is Jesus' righteousness that he's provided us, okay? The door is the righteousness that Jesus provided us, that he is to us. Christ, our righteousness, is that door. The kingdom beyond that, the heavens, is Christ, our life, beyond that. But Christ, our wisdom, he's calling out to men, saying, the foolish, turn in here and I'll teach you. There's a way to the perfect. There's a way to be perfect. There's a way to have a perfect life. People say, nobody's perfect. That's ridiculous. That's what you have on the inside of you. Lots of us are perfect. Everybody in here is probably perfect. You understand? If you believe in Jesus, you're perfect inside, then that comes out into your life. I'm not saying that problems in the world are going to stop just because you believe Jesus. That's ridiculous, because not everybody believes in Jesus. So just because you have problems circumstantially doesn't mean that you're not a Christian or something like that. For that matter, if you have a problem in your body, it doesn't mean you're not a Christian or something like that. That's silly also. But Jesus, there is a way to live perfectly. You have perfection moving through you. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but anyway, Jesus is saying, there is perfection I provided for you, the kingdom, the heavens, the top of the high places that I want you to have. This is why Jesus died for us. Jesus died, and the veil, right when he died, the veil was torn, opening a way, not for a relationship with God. That's not the symbolism there. That's true, but it's not the symbolism there. You know, suddenly we think, oh, when Jesus died, the veil was torn as a picture of how now we could come before God boldly and have a relationship with him. That's not the symbolism. It's not what it means. It's not what it means. All that relationship stuff that we made up, that stuff. The place beyond the veil is actually referring to heaven. And Hebrews says that. Hebrews 6, Hebrews 9, Hebrews 10 says that. When Jesus died, he's saying, look, I made a way because I took your sin. I died for your sin to make you righteous. That's the door. Jesus, our righteousness. And Jesus provided righteousness to us so that we could have the perfect, what's beyond the veil, in other words. So we could have the top of the high place. We could have perfect, in other words, the Holy Spirit, that we could partake of these things. Jesus died to get us there, but people don't know it. So Christ, our wisdom, our teacher, our truth, is calling out to people saying, if you're foolish and you don't understand what I did for you, listen to me, I'll teach you. Now, you guys may be saying, for those that have been here a while, you might be saying, hey, I thought people in the world couldn't hear the voice of God by themselves. I thought that, you guys follow me, right? Because you might be thinking, well, I thought Jesus couldn't directly. Well, that's actually, because a good question, I had asked that myself. That's why it said that the wisdom sends out her maidens. Pretty cool, right? It's pretty cool. Because, and anyway, you know, that's something that you had to listen to past messages about, but the wisdom sends out her maidens. That's how she calls out to those men that are foolish. So it's not directly. It's through her maidens, right? So that's pretty cool, actually. But regardless, the point is that Christ, as wisdom, wants people to know about the door and the kingdom beyond it, the top of the high places, so that people can, through righteousness, remember, just like Abraham, so they can become righteous, and once they become righteous, they can receive that place that he's provided for them. Okay. All that's talking about an unsaved person. They don't know. They're foolish. I want to teach you. So you could, just like Abraham, believe and receive righteousness. Once you receive righteousness, then you're an heir of this realm, this kingdom. Catch that? Okay. So watch this. You're a Christian now, though, right? So you're not like outside. Like, in other words, like the picture of you walking around not knowing anything, and Jesus needs to send out his people to you so you can get to know what he's provided is a little silly, because you know something about Jesus when you're a Christian. You're not like this fool walking around aimlessly that he has to call out to and send somebody to and all that, right? But watch this. Once you get saved, you receive this righteousness. This kingdom is on the inside of you now, right? You don't have to receive righteousness to gain access to this kingdom. You are righteous already. You have access into this kingdom. Furthermore, from what we just read, Mount Zion, in other words, the top of the high places, is where? It's inside of you, right? So think about it right now. Think about it right now. When you were not saved, you were out here in the world, righteousness and the kingdom that Jesus provided was beyond you, not something that you had received. But wisdom sent out somebody to you. You heard the truth. Once you heard the truth, you receive that righteousness and receive that kingdom, both. But where? You receive that righteousness, that door, and that kingdom inside of you. Because wisdom taught you through somebody else, but wisdom taught you. You receive that kingdom, you receive that righteousness inside of you. Okay? Here's where it's applicable now to a Christian. Even though you have wisdom, that's true also. You also receive wisdom. Wisdom, the righteousness, and that life, and that place that we were talking about, that God's provided everybody, heaven. You receive that all on the inside of you. This is why Jesus said he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. He's the way, the door. He's the truth, wisdom to teach it. And he's the life, the inheritance that Jesus provided for everybody. The way, the truth, and that life. All three of those things. You received Christ inside of you. You have wisdom on the inside of you to teach you about the inheritance. You have righteousness inside of you that qualifies you, makes you just, clean, so you're qualified for that inheritance, and you have the power of God, the things of heaven, the inheritance itself inside of you. Okay? I'm going to repeat that one more time. You have wisdom to teach inside of you right now. All those things that I just mentioned that an unsaved person doesn't have, wisdom, the door, righteousness, and heaven, top of the high places, you have it all in you. You have wisdom to teach you about these things you've been given. You have righteousness that qualifies you for what you've been given. And you have heaven itself, that inheritance that you've been given inside of you, all inside of you. So think about it like this, because this is how it is, okay? I'm going to be speaking figuratively, but this is how it is, okay? Can we go to Proverbs chapter 8 real quick, and I'll show you? Proverbs 8:1. Let me just show you what I just said. Does not wisdom cry, understanding put forth her voice? She stands at the top of the high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city. Pretty cool, actually. I never really took note of that, but the top of the high place, it calls it the city there. At the coming in, at the doors, unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Oh, you simple. She's not talking to Christians. God won't call you simple and foolish. Oh, you simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. That wickedness is not talking about just sin. It's talking about wickedness like perverse speech. Okay, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. In other words, righteousness doesn't always just mean the gift of righteousness, like being right before God. Righteousness just means right. If you say anything's righteous, surfer guys say, oh, it was righteous. You know what I mean? Like, it just means it was. I mean, the way people say it, it means it was awesome. But it just means right, right. So all the words of my mouth are right. They're in righteousness. There is nothing forward, if that's how you pronounce it, or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understands, and right to them that finds knowledge. Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Can you just page down once? Okay, verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. That word judgment there is talking about like justice. Okay? So if you read it like that, this is wisdom speaking or understanding speaking. Same person, Jesus, that teacher. I lead in the way of righteousness. Wisdom. I lead. Just Jesus speaking, though. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Listen, remember, righteousness is how you are able. It gives you the ability, the potential to enter the things of heaven. When you are not righteous, there is no receiving the kingdom of heaven. You can't have the power of God working through you, okay, for your sake when you are not righteous. Righteousness is being clean enough. It's like a worthiness to be able to receive heaven. I don't mean like deservingness, but I mean like worthy, like it's a fittingness. Like I'm fit to receive heaven now, right? So that's why you need to get righteous first, right? In order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Like that's important to note. Here's what I want to point out. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice or judgment here. You know that God provided righteousness to everybody, justice, you could say, justification, as a gift through the cross to every single person in this world. What should that mean? Well, why isn't everybody have heaven inside of them then? If Jesus paid for everybody's sins and he provided righteousness to everybody, then why doesn't everybody have the kingdom of heaven inside of them? Why doesn't everybody receive that? Because he needs to lead them in the way of righteousness. In other words, it's like this now. Wisdom calls out, right? So for those in the recording, there's a door here. There's heaven beyond it. God wants you to receive it. God wants you to receive these heavens, right? But you don't know about it. You don't know that Jesus provided it. So wisdom sends somebody to you and through them speaks to you. And what does she do? Now it's not just here and you don't know about it. Now she's teaching you. And as she's teaching you, it's like this. Just as a figure, right? It's like somebody going like this and saying, see, that's righteousness. And as you see it, because you are learning it, you're receiving it. And she's literally like leading you through righteousness into the kingdom of heaven. For a saved person, it's a little different. It's just internal, but it's the same kind of thing. It's internal. For an unsaved person, it's outside of you. Heaven is outside of you. Righteousness is outside of you. Wisdom is outside of you. And wisdom needs to teach you about righteousness in the kingdom so that you can, okay, that's what it is. And then you receive it inside of you. I don't want to lose any of you, but watch this. I lead in the ways in the way of righteousness. I lead you in the way of righteousness. This is specifically for Christians, what I'm about to say. Righteousness, now you have the kingdom and you have righteousness in your belly right now. Imagine a door on your belly, okay? Imagine a door on your belly. That would be righteousness, right? That gives you the capability to receive from the kingdom on the inside of you. So imagine the kingdom inside of you, then a door on your belly. Even though it's not a literal door with hinges, that is the way it is. There is a kingdom inside of you, and there is righteousness on the inside of you that makes you capable, qualified to receive of heaven inside of you. So imagine that right now. God, you've got a kingdom on the inside of you that God wants you to enter those things bodily. He wants you to bodily enter the things of heaven inside of you. You have a capability called righteousness also inside of you, makes you qualified, fit to enter these things. But you know what you need? You need someone to reveal these things to you, to teach you these things. In other words, to lead you through that righteousness that you have already as a Christian, to lead you through that righteousness, like a highway really, to lead you through that righteousness in order to receive from heaven inside of you. Righteousness is like the conduit through which the kingdom of heaven can come out of your belly and overtake you, swallow you up, perfect you. Righteousness is like an open door for God to come out of you and for you to receive from him. Okay? Again, why is that? Because if you were in sin, you wouldn't have the kingdom of God on the inside of you either. Because why? Sin is not fit to receive the kingdom. But righteousness is fit, especially the righteousness of God, is fit to receive the kingdom of heaven. And if you're righteous, like I said, it's like a conduit for the kingdom of God inside of you to come through righteousness. This was said about Abraham also. Remember how Abraham received the kingdom, in quotes, the kingdom? How he became heir of the kingdom? He said, through righteousness. It was like Abraham received righteousness, and through that righteousness, God was able to put the kingdom on the inside of him. And that is truth. And it was able to work through him because Abraham was now righteous. Righteousness is the means, that's a good word for it, the means by which God is able to work in your life. It's why you're qualified. So like Brother Matt was just saying, God forgave you, created you in righteousness and true holiness. You're holy now, as holy as God ever wants you to be. You are right now, not because you're so holy, but because God made you holy through Jesus. That righteousness, that holiness, because also holiness is, you know, the way is also referred to as like the way or the path or the way of holiness, okay? In the Bible, I forget exactly where it is. But you are righteous and holy now because Jesus made you righteous and holy. What that does is it gives you the capability to walk in the kingdom of heaven now, because now God sees you're qualified now for me to work through you. You're qualified for me to bless externally, to bless the things that you touch, to change the things that you touch, to change externally who you are, in conform it to what Jesus walks in right now. God is able to do that through you. Why? Righteous is the means. And again, righteous, let's not get so caught up. I try to do analogies like that just to show you, but it's not obviously a door on hinges. Righteousness is Christ in you. the kingdom is also Christ in you. But the fact Christ being righteous qualifies you for Christ being the things of heaven inside of you. Does that all make sense? Christ, your righteousness inside of you, you got righteousness all through you. It's not a door just merely like over, like your belly button or something like that. Although your belly button is probably a cool little analogy for righteousness because it's like a door into your belly. But anyway, it's not a door on hinges. It's Christ in you, in your body right now. Christ is, you know, inside of you. Him being your righteousness qualifies you for Christ, the kingdom inside of you, Christ, the things of heaven inside of you, Christ, the power of God inside of you to work through you and keep you from harm all the time. You see, like, let's just say that you make a wrong decision, right? You make a wrong decision. Like, you are in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, right? Does God want you there? You know what? This is not where I should be, right? People will tell you, I've heard this taught, that, you know what? You're out of God's protection now. You're out of God's protection. You're out of God's, you know, even if they say God still loves you, you know, but you're out of God's protection. If something bad happens to you, it's because of that wrong decision you made. That is the furthest possible thing you can say from the truth. Right decisions never qualified you. If I was in the right place at the right time, I would be no more, check this out, no more qualified for God to protect me than if I was making a drug deal with somebody. And thank God I've never done that, for anyone that's curious. But like I said, thank God. But for analogy's sake, I am no more protected by God when I'm making it, in my mind, a right decision. I heard somebody one time say, about Brother Matt actually, there was supposed to be a tornado. I forget, Brother Matt went on a trip one time. There was supposed to be a tornado. And I heard somebody actually say, oh, thank God though, they're protected because what they're doing is like for God. And I'm like, Brother Matt going to a Bible conference or a youth ministry conference or something like that, he's no more protected if it was up to his decisions than if, like I said, if he was over with, you know, his in a gang somewhere, even if you can even imagine Brother Matt, you know, busting somebody up and making all the wrong decisions and, you know, rebelling against their parents, and he's no more protected doing all this flashy stuff. No offense to that. I'm not saying necessarily wrong. But you understand, though, your decisions is not, if it was up to our decisions, there are none that are good. There are none that are righteous. Your mouth is basically a pit of lies. There's nothing good that comes out of your mouth. All of these things are true of us if it was just up to our decision making. But it's not right decisions that allows God to work through you. Your good decision that you made is not why God is going to bless what you're doing. Just because you make good decisions, just because you turn the right way. It's righteousness himself, Christ in you, that gift that Romans 5 talks about, that God gave you through his Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit came on the inside of you and cleansed you of sin. If you're a Christian, you make a drug deal, God forbid, and you know what? If you're making drug deals as a Christian, you need to know Jesus. You know why? Because you're clearly not taking advantage of what you can be taken advantage of. But God forbid, you're making a drug deal as a Christian. There is nothing stopping God's power in that moment. Nothing stopping it. If you know. Not just saying just for anybody. If you understand what God's given you, the righteousness that he's given you, there is nothing stopping the power of God there. Zero stopping it. Because your right decision, if you were to stop doing that, God, if you were to stop and say, you know what, this is not right, and you were going to run away from it, God is no more with you, taking care of you, providing for you over here than he was over there. It's not a matter of your decision making. Like I said, if it was up to your decision, you'd all be forsaken by God right now. If God wanted to base on your decision making, you'd all be forsaken by God. We wouldn't be at this church right now. There would be no such thing as a Christian church. There'd be no such thing as a Christian. If God wanted to base on your decision, it would look like the law, and we'd all be dead right now. That's how good your decision-making is. Actually, better said, you want to see, if you don't believe me, you want to see what your decision-making looks like? Look at Christ crucified. That's all your good decisions. That's what it looks like. We take so much pride in all of our decisions, like God's going to protect me and take care of me because I go to a conference, because I do this, because I do that. You want to see your decision-making? God nailed it to a cross. That's your righteousness. That's not even just the worst of it. That's the best of it. That's the best of all humanity on the cross right there. Please don't take pride in something you do, like God's going to protect you or something like that, and feel that, you know, you're more prone to receive from God because you made a good decision. I don't care what you're doing at the time. God has only right to protect you, take care of you, provide for you because of righteousness, but not yours. It's God's righteousness that was given as a gift through the cross. God cleansed you of sin as a Christian. as a Christian, cleanse you of sin. You've been made righteous by a third party, not because you did something. God did it to you. You didn't provide something to God. God provided it to you through what Jesus did. Jesus became sin. He became all your goodness at the cross. All the things you take pride in, he took it, and God crucified it. So you could be the righteousness of God in him. And that's the reason. That's the conduit I'm talking about, righteousness. I'm not talking about holy living. If we want to talk about holy living, again, Romans chapter whatever it is, chapter 3 or something, but Romans chapter 3 probably, it describes your righteousness vividly, and it's an awesome chapter. I love quoting it to people that love themselves and what they can do, because it describes it. Read Romans 3 on your own time if you want. It describes the beauty of human words, the beauty of human goodness, the beauty of human righteousness, and descriptively. Paul basically takes every ugly verse in the Old Testament that describes human righteousness and just puts it all in the one chapter in case, you know, anybody was like feeling self-righteous or some crazy thing like that, right? So he just like knocked it way off the shelf just with all these verses all at one time. Just to make a point, same point I'm making right now. Righteousness is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. It's not just, oh, you know, like I'm not just saying that like, let me say it this way. I'm not saying all these things just because like this is not a positive message or something like that. This is the way that it works. God gives you righteousness as a gift. It's not too good to be true. It's just true. Righteousness, Christ inside of you right now as a Christian, is that way, the means by which we bodily, externally, can enter the kingdom of God inside of us. Mount Zion, the new earth, whatever you want to call it. You have a way to receive this. You know what I'm saying? Like, God provided it through Jesus. If you're a Christian, you already have it. You don't even need anything. You already have it. But what's the issue then? What's the issue then? Wisdom. 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 Wisdom wants to talk to you about it. We don't know sometimes that half of what we have in Christ, and it's in you the whole time. Wisdom will speak to you, shepherd you. David, which is a shepherd name for Jesus, wants to shepherd you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to teach you. That's why you don't even have to be your own truth. You don't even have to be your own faith. You don't have to believe for yourself. God just wants you to listen to wisdom, because you can't believe jack on your own. The Bible says there are none that seek after God. There are none who believe correctly. Trust me. You can't know anything. The Bible talks about our knowledge again in Jeremiah 4, and it's like there's nothing to it. There's nothing. You've never thought something on your own that was so godly and so pleasing to him. Faith itself comes by hearing, and hearing the truth. That's in the Bible. That's just Romans 10. That faith, that you don't have to believe for yourself anymore. You can scrap all that stuff that you thought you had to do, because faith even comes to you from the Holy Spirit as you listen to the wisdom on the inside of you. Wisdom starts teaching you. You start realizing what's on the inside of you, which is what? As we understand the things Christ has given us, I don't understand everything about this. There's more that I understand that I'm not sharing right now. But as you understand these things, that's what makes all that Christ did for you effective. The righteousness and the kingdom on the inside of you, when wisdom on the inside of you shoots up to your head, gives you an understanding about what Jesus did for you, all of a sudden, the access that you already have, you start using that access. The kingdom of God, you start using the access into that kingdom. The kingdom of God, through righteousness, the gift inside of you, whether you're making that drug deal or whether you're doing something else, the kingdom of God on the inside of you starts shooting up through, because Christ is your righteousness, through that, God is able to work through you. That kingdom is now not on the inside of you, but now upon you, now on top of you. Now it's like, now you're under the mountain also. And now that mountain, that place that we've been talking about, that new earth shoots up out of you. God is able to use you. He's able to perform things through you. He's able to work every good and perfect thing that he's provided to you if you're just going to listen to wisdom. So imagine righteousness, the kingdom here. Listen to wisdom. She'll lead you in the ways of righteousness. Where is she leading you to? The kingdom of God. Learning from Jesus is like walking a path with Jesus to a destination. But the destination for a Christian is not a destination that you're not already at. You're at the destination, and yet you're going to the destination. What do I mean by that? In your spirit right now, inside of you, you're already at the destination. You have come to Mount Zion. But your body wants some of that. And if you are going to cooperate with wisdom by stopping all the faith stuff, stopping all the true stuff, stopping all the wisdom and understanding and more knowledge stuff, stop all of it Because if that was your job, you'd be called wisdom, right? Stop all that stuff. Start listening. Acknowledge him in all your ways. You start listening to the Holy Spirit just by acknowledging him. What's going to happen? Again, it's like walking to a destination that you already have. Through righteousness to that destination that you already have, which is the new earth. Let's go to one more verse real quick. Psalms 23. Okay, so verse 1. Psalm of David. Check this out. The Lord is my shepherd. The word shepherd here is talking about teacher. You know that because Peter talks about how Jesus is the shepherd of our soul. The word soul, most of the time it's said, is talking about your mind. So very seldom is it ever talking about, like, sometimes the Bible will say, like, oh, 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. In that case, I believe it's talking about an individual, right? I don't know why that is. Sometimes it's used as, like, an individual. Sometimes the Bible even talks about somebody's soul in Hades, right? In those cases, not just talking about your mind. I'm not 100% sure why it uses that, but most of the time, when the Bible says soul, like, love the Lord your God with your soul, that's talking about your mind, okay? Your soul. Shepherd of our soul, though, is what Peter talks about. He's a shepherd. He shepherds you, guides you, but it's for your mind, okay? So when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, he's talking about, he's not talking about guiding your decisions. I know that most people quote this verse and they say, you know, when they have to make a decision, oh, you know what, the Lord is my shepherd. No, he's not trying to guide your decision as a shepherd. The Holy Spirit will do that after you get shepherded. Shepherding is God wants to teach you about the kingdom and his righteousness. I said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How do you do that? Listen to wisdom. She's going to lead you in righteousness to the kingdom to show you these things that you've been given. The Lord is my shepherd. So you could actually say that to yourself. Teacher of my mind. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, or by, rather, still waters. He restores my soul. I guess even there, you could see, the Lord is my shepherd. He restores my soul. That's probably the renewal of the mind there. He restores my soul. So what's the shepherd doing? He restores my soul. But watch this. As he restores your soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Righteousness is the path, the door, the gate. Read a Psalm 118, verse 18. It talks about through the gates of righteousness. Righteousness is the gate, the path. He leads me, who? The shepherd, teacher. The teacher leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. For his namesake, I believe that's talking about the kind of righteousness. The kind of righteousness is not for the sake of your works or the sake of something you've done, for his namesake, for what he's done. Okay, so in other words, like the gift of righteousness, but that's an opinion. That for his namesake, that's my opinion on that. But the point, though, is he leads me. The shepherd leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. God will lead you so that through righteousness you can inherit what's on the inside of you. He leads you. In other words, he teaches you into your access. You already have the access, being righteousness, and the place beyond it, which both are Christ in you. Both are Christ in you. But God wants to teach you. If you'll listen to him, he wants to teach you, and he will teach you. You will not conjure up thoughts on your own. He will teach you. He will make sure that you know the truth. God doesn't want you to make sure. He wants you to listen and in all of your ways, no matter what you're doing, and he will teach you. And he'll make everything straight before your eyes so you can see. But that's what it's like, being led in the in a path to a place, like I said, that's on the inside of you. I had a dream one time that, mind you, I didn't know any of this when I had this dream, right? So if that's any confirmation to you, I didn't, like, know any of this, the path of righteousness. The dream didn't make any sense to me when I first dreamt it. And I had two separate dreams that were kind of the same thing, but I didn't understand them. Like, I understood the whole heaven in us thing. I understood that part, but the whole path of righteousness, like, I didn't understand any of that. I had a dream. I was walking down this road, and I saw this gate, and there was, like, just this field beyond the gate. And I went up to the gate, and I held onto the gate. It was like a chain-link fence. And there was people over there, but I wasn't over there. And I held onto the fence, and somebody, blonde-haired guy, not Brother Matt, but somebody came up to me on the other side, and he looked at me like he came right up close to me, and he said something to me, but I didn't know what he said, but he was talking to me. And when he said something to me, I knew, mind you, please, as I say these things, the reason why I don't share certain things sometimes is because I know that people will take them as being truth. This is no more making anything, this is not making the message any truer than if I didn't share it, right? It's just confirmation of what you already know. You never allow anything to change your mind that's outside of you, okay? The only thing you allow to change your mind is the Holy Spirit teaching you something from inside of you, okay? That's it. Everything else, you know what confirmation means? Confirmation doesn't mean, oh, it taught me something further. Confirmation means I already knew it or I will know it at some point, but it's just a adding credibility to what has already been said, right? It's nothing new. So anyway, that's what I'm doing right now. Just adding further credibility to what I just said, and it's true because the Holy Spirit shows us. So check this out. Said something to me. Right as he said something to me, I looked to my right, and I saw a door in the gate. Like there was a gate there in the fence. And so I saw it, and I thought to myself, I just walked that way, and I didn't see it there. Like in my mind, it was not there before. But I know the point was that it was there, but I didn't see it. Like I walked past it and thought the whole thing was a gate and it was closed off. Meanwhile, there was an access there. So I saw it now and then I went through it. And then when I went through it, that's kind of what's happening with us. You have righteousness and you have the things of God inside of you, but you don't know it. And it's like God, like that guy that came up to me and he said, oh, just so you know, that's inside of you, that's inside of you, that's inside of you. You start understanding it, you see it, you start receiving of those things. They start becoming, active for you. That righteousness and that kingdom. And I had another dream too, but it's a little bit longer. And it's the same kind of concept. I'll just stop on that one. But like I said, it was exact same concept, only it was like a staircase instead of a gate. It was a staircase that was like hundreds and hundreds. I couldn't even see the top of it, feet high. But anyway, and I there was a little boy that was walking me up, a little Jewish boy, actually, walking me up, although a little, I guess Hebrew boy, walked me all the way up the stairs. But anyway, when God wants to lead you into the high places, you are, in a sense, being, how do you say this? You are, in a sense, you are being lifted up in a way. You're becoming a part of the high places bodily, but you don't go up to go up. You go down to go up. You get that? It's inside of you. The high places, highest heaven is underneath you. So it's like you end up looking like that, but you're actually entering the things that are already in your belly, right? And it's in a destination that you already have. Cool? Okay, so let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the way that you've provided to us, which is righteousness. Thank you so much, Father, for... Father, I pray that we would even read that, Psalm chapter 118. We can see that further. Thank you so much, Father, though, for the fact that you have made a way, Jesus, for us to live in what you live in, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father, that we are qualified for you to work through us, to live through us. And it's not our right decisions, Lord. It's never been our right decisions, Lord. That never was the case. Thank you so much, Jesus, because you loved us. You became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in you, Jesus. So thank you so much, Jesus, for making us clean today. Father, if anybody came in here and they were feeling unclean, Father, it's not a matter of learning righteousness by itself that's going to make us feel clean. Because even the law talked about righteousness, but it didn't talk to you about Jesus on the surface, which means it wasn't really helping you. Even the law can talk about righteousness, and it was weak and profitless. It's not righteousness that you need a revelation of. It's Christ as your righteousness that you need a revelation of. That you're not your righteousness. You've never been your righteousness, but Christ became sin for you to make you righteous. That's what you need a revelation of. If you're struggling with your identity, with esteem of yourself, if you're struggling with all these different factors about putting yourself down and all this kind of, I'm talking about as a Christian. It's not a self-esteem boost you need. It's not a identity change, just, oh, I need to think better about myself. It's not a identity message that you need. You need to understand that Jesus has become your identity. It's a Jesus thing. It's never a thing. It's never a topic thing. It's a Jesus thing. People struggle for their lack of knowledge of Jesus, not for their lack of knowledge about just a topic called righteousness or a topic called health or a topic called healing. If you're struggling with health, God doesn't want you to know more about health. The law talked about health. It's not about talking about health. It's a matter of seeing Jesus as this for you instead of you being that to yourself. That's why he came for you, to be a help to you. So in all the places you couldn't be something for yourself, he wanted to replace you and do it for you, and he did it successfully. You need a Jesus understanding. You don't need a health understanding, a righteousness understanding, an identity understanding. You don't need all these things, topics. You need to know Christ as that to you. Jesus is the power of God for you. Jesus is that power to you. You don't need to know about the power. You need to know about Jesus. And if you know about Jesus, you get the power of God. You see, if you're struggling with health issues, you need the power of God. But you don't need a revelation of the power of God. You get a revelation of who Jesus is, what you're not anymore, what you don't have to be anymore, because he is already, and your body will get healed. He's the power of God to you. You're not the power of God. No one else is, just Jesus. Get a Jesus revelation from the Holy Spirit. He'll show it. If you start listening, say, Holy Spirit, right now, say it with me if this is applicable to you. You can say it under your breath, doesn't matter. Just say it so that the Lord knows that you said it. Say, Jesus, show me Jesus. Jesus, show me yourself. You need a revelation of him. Jesus, show me yourself. Show me who you are. I don't need to know about all these different things. I don't know all the biblical knowledge this, Strong's Concordance that. We think that's our problem. Let the Holy Spirit add anything he wants to add. You need a Jesus revelation. We're struggling today because we don't know Jesus in a certain way. You're going to ask Pastor Jose when he gets back about, I'm struggling with this. Can I have help with that? Where's a verse for this? You want verses. You want biblical knowledge. You want all this stuff. And you're not missing all that stuff. That stuff's not going to help you. Jesus, give me a revelation of Jesus. Give me a revelation of who you are. That's what I want. You're the power of God to me. You're the one that's the wisdom of God to me. You're the one, Lord, that's my identity. You're the one. It's knowledge of you, Lord, that I need. Thank you, Jesus. You need to show us yourself, Lord, so we can know you. Thank you, Jesus, so much for revealing, because you are that woman wisdom, Lord, in figure, Lord. You're that understanding to us. You're the one that reveals it, Lord, and you're the one you're revealing. Thank you so much, Father, because the Holy Spirit is Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not a third party in a Trinity. He is Jesus. That's not arguable. Jesus said, I will come unto you. He said, I'll send my helper. I'll send somebody like me. A few verses later, he says, I'll come unto you. It's just his spirit. It's Jesus inside of you. Thank you, Jesus, so much. That's you inside of us. That's you inside of us, Lord. It's not a third Holy Spirit party of a Trinity. The Holy Spirit is Christ's spirit, the Father's spirit that they share, that you've been given also. So thank you so much, Father, for living in us through your spirit with our spirit. You're good company, Lord, because you are the one that's always going to be effective for us in teaching us. So thank you so much, Father, for all you are to us. We praise you, Lord, and we love you. We just appreciate you, Lord, so much, and thank you, Lord.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.